as saying if you're mevashel mayim b'kadeira, in a fleisha kadeira, then you don't need me'es l'es from the bishel of the mayim, rather me'es l'es of the bishel of the chalav. So that means to say, if I cook fleishiks at 8 a.m., and then I cook water at 10 a.m., and then I cook milchiks at 9 a.m., it's no problem. And the answer is very simple. It's not shayach hanan over here. And it's not shayach rejuvenation, meaning say, what's the two possible reasons to say that bishel mayim ruins everything? One is hanan. Well, there's no hanan, because it's heter. And the second is rejuvenation. What do I mean by rejuvenation? That once the bleos are in food, so they don't expire any longer. And therefore, when they go back into the walls, so they also shouldn't expire. And the answer is that even if you thought that Metzias was true, here it would still be mutter, because it's not barnat. In other words, the fleishik pot was tam rishon, the food is tam sheni, goes back in, it's tam shlishi, so manashach your mutter. Now, over here, if you look at the lashon of the smak, and we'll get back to this in a couple minutes when we start Sadihei, the mashmos is that the lashon is that the reason why this is true is because we don't say, the reason why we normally are machmir for water and we don't say not bar not is because of chanan. So we'll get back to that, but here we have one rishon saying that why don't you say chanan be'isser? Right? We only say not bar not de'hater. And the smak over here says that it's because of chanan. Of course, that means that if you don't hold a chanan b'shari suhun, you have to ask why this would be true, or maybe even whether it's true. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Tzadi Dalet Vav that b'tzalim v'yirakos shebluim ibasu v'shlo m'kter chaleves im yadua kam abasar b'lua b'tzalim v'yirakos ein sar shishim k'neged abasar. So that's pashat. In other words, since there's no chanan, if you have a fleishig onion, the onion itself is two kizesim, but you know that there could be no more than one kizayis of basar in it. So you need shishim keneged one kizayis. And the Rama writes, very simply, because there's no chanan here. So the Shach quotes a tshuvas ma'ram milublin, that is the shishim keneged the basar habalua in the batzel, then even the batzel is mutter. And you don't have to throw it out. But if it was Isser, so then this halacha wouldn't be true. Then we know, of course, from the Rashba that once it becomes Usser, it remains Usser li olam vayed. So, what's the difference between here and Siv Gimel? So we talked about this last time, that the answer is that the Beis Yosef gives. And then we said, well, what about the Rashba's concern? So l'chora, meaning to say we know the Rashba, even without Hanan, holds that once something becomes aser, let's say a potato, it remains aser li'olam bad, even if there's a shishim keneged the entire potato. And if you recall back when we discussed that, there are two svaros given for that Rashba, both in the Beis Yosef. One is the concern that there might still be an asinas tam left in there, may remain in the potato in a higher proportion, because in a galah ba'ochlan, now if you hold that like that, then presumably you would reject this Maharam Lublin. This Maharam Lublin is not just quoted by the Shach, it's also quoted by the Taz and others. You could be Doicha, though. You could still say that by Isser we're concerned because there's a Cheskas Isser. So until we know Bivados that all the Isser left, it's going to remain Aser. But by Heter, there's no Cheskas Fleishiks, because that's not a Halachic Chalos. And therefore, misafek, we will assume that it left when cooked out. So it's not 100% definitive, but it's more mistaber, this psak of the Maram Lublin, if you think that the psak, the reason for the Rashba's din, that once something becomes aser, it stays aser, is because of some type of chalos, not chanan, but a chalos of tam ke'ikar in this, which causes it to be mutter, at least until 100% of the iser is removed. Even though there's no tam, it remains aser. And then, it's very simple to explain why this would be true over here. It would not be true over here when we're talking about Heter. Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that if you, the case, the, we're only matko if you cook the onions in a milchiga pot. But if you cook the onions in milk, so the tam chalav enters the onion, and therefore the onion has both flesh and milchiks, and then it will aser forever. That's the way Rabbi Akiva Eger learns, right over here, this Maharam Milublin. However, many achronim disagree, and they say, no, the Pashtus and the Maharam Milublin, among those the Yad Yehuda learns this way, that the Pashtus is that the onion would be mutter even if you cooked it in milk. This is, seems to be the way the Prima Gadim learns, the Kresu Plesi learns, against Rabbi Akiva Eger. So, this is obviously a very different understanding of the heter. And l'chora, it comes back to the question that we said, which is, what is the reason for the psak of the Rashba in general as to why it is when something becomes usser, it remains usser? If you look at... all right, there's more to say about this, but we don't have so much time. This question is, how do we paskin, right? We have, I'll give you a famous, there's a famous maisa from the Ramu. So, 1 week, Rav Tzvi Kushalevsky was staying at the Willigs for Shabbos, and one of Rabbi Willig's sons, I won't say who, decided to help make the challenge. And cut up the onion with a milchig knife and threw it in a chalet. So, seemingly, this comes down to this question. If you hold like Rabbi Akiva Eger, it would be usher. If you assume we pass him like Imam Lublin and you learn like the other poskim, it would be mutter. So what's the halacha? Assuming you had fishim keneged the blade of the onion. Or, right, again, there... Or shishim keneged the onion, right? Whatever is bigger, whatever is smaller, I mean to say, right? So, because at this point, you can't just take out the onion. Once onions are cut up into the chalent, they can't be removed. So what's going to be the halacha in this case? So Rabbi Willig was willing to be mekel, based off of the Maharam Milublin, I believe, the Shach and the Taz, the simple understanding, not Rabbi Kivega's understanding, that if there was shishim keneged the blade of the onion, or shishim keneged the onion, it would be mutter. But he wasn't quite sure that there was shishim keneged the blade of the onion. The blade or the onion. It's not something that's so easy to figure out. So what did you do then? So then he said, well, who says that my knife was actually milchiks? Apparently, this particular son who cut up the onion used a table knife. Maybe he was too young to be like allowed to use sharp knives, so he tried cutting up the onion, like, you know, the ones from your drawer. It's pretty hard to cut an onion that way. But anyway, so you know, what do you use a table knife for? Klisheni. So mistama, the knife was mutter. You have to be choshesh that you took the table knife and put it into the lasagna where it was still in a kli rishon. So I think that, like, for my knives, you would have to. But discussing the mice with her, I will, you get the impression that they don't have much lasagna at their house. That was like the only thing you could think of that you're going to cut with a table knife in a kli rishon. But what about if you use your plate in a microwave? Because then it could really be an issue, right? In other words, let's say I have leftover pizza. So then I have leftover pizza. So the pizza itself, I don't cook. I'm not going to use my table knife for the pizza when it's still in the kli rishon, right? But if I reheat a piece of pizza in the microwave, and we assume that... has the status of a kli rishon, which you could debate. We talked about that earlier, but the pashta certainly is that it would. Again, maybe if we had time, we would talk about the tzadim, but I think for now we don't have time. So the pashta says, so, and he said he thinks he had a microwave at that time. He wasn't sure. was a story that took place 20 years ago, I think, or 20, 30 years ago, I don't know when. But maybe it's batal the rov. Like, even if one or two of his knives were used, could you say that? So what to talk about? In the end, they ate the chalent, and Rav Willig thinks even Rav Tzvi ate the chalent. That was his recollection. So yeah, so this shaila could come up a lot. This base mayor, Rabbi Kibeger Machlokas. Yeah.
How does it deal with not doing the onion itself?
Because the onion, the chalent's full of onion. If you couldn't eat the onion,
with the shishin, and
there's not shishin connected to the onion. A, and B, even if there was shishin connected to the onion, if you think that if you disagree with the Maharam Lublin, or you interpret the Maharam Lublin like the like Rabbi Vager and others, then it still doesn't help. Because the onions are pieces of onion in the chalent. Good.
So if
you can't,
you
both of them.
It
doesn't become mutter if you disagree.
No, like,
it doesn't become mutter. This onion has blios of milchix and fleishix in it. Can't eat it. The fleish.
Isn't that a mimanoshach about
shishim? No. The fleishix. The onion has tam chalav in it, right?
Right.
It's now absorbs tam basar from the chalent.
Right.
It's never going to become mutter, the onion.
Yavish,
it should be batal b'rov. It's not batal b'rov. Every bite I take has a little tiny piece of onion in it. Where's the batal b'rov? Every onion's usher. Every onion's usher.
Yeah, but you're saying it's not shishim, right?
There's not shishim. So even if there is shishim, even if there is shishim, it's going to be usher if you follow the machmirim, no?
Why?
Because it's
you have some onion basar. You have some basar b'chal of onion that's batal
b'shishim. Every single onion is nicker and not batal. There's one onion in the whole chalent. Or he cut all the onions, chalent and the onion. Oh, I don't know how many onions there were.
It sounded like somebody else was cutting onions.
No.
That would be
that's a different story. All 100% of the onions in this chalent were cut with a milking knife.
And it's nicker and therefore not batal b'shishim.
Right, of course it's nicker. You could see, if you look in your chalent, you'll see little pieces of onions. You might not notice them.
But it's too hard to get them
but,
all out.
Yeah. Boher. But yes, it's not plausible. It's not really plausible to take them out. It would be very tedious.
Isn't that another shaila about whether it's a bit like that?
No, yeah, well, that shaila, to be soilich on that is imratuta imratut shaltaz. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think if you held like Rabbi Kibeger and that school of thought, I think you're toast. okay, fine. There's more to talk about this, but we don't have time. So, speaking of time, so I have to say that I messed up here. And we're like extraordinarily behind, and only dawned on me recently that we're toast, to quote my lashon. So, what does that mean, Lamaisa? It's going to mean two things, Lamaisa. Number one is a lot of things that had we had more time, we would have been marchivan. We're going to have to be medaleg, like the shaila. There's more to say, but we're going to have to skip it. And the second thing is, it means we're going to have shir every day, starting now, until we finish basar chalav. So we'll do a tzara kula. We'll start at 5:30. Mamish 5:30, though. So that's tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday and Sunday and Monday. Tuesday, I guess we can't do 5:30. We'll have to do it at like 12 o'clock. So I'm giving I'm giving shiurim already scheduled from 12 o'clock till 4:50 straight. So, and their topics are already done, so I couldn't even stuff this in if I wanted to. And if we don't finish by Shavuos, so we're just going to keep on going afterwards until we finish. So everybody has to pick up their pace and keep up. Yes?
If you're making an suggestion, people might be upset at me, but why can't we be marked and then just have more shiur in June?
We're going to keep on going. Well, we still don't have time to be marchiv and do that.
I assume they're going through June. We're not going through June.
Of course we're going through June. My plan was to do Hechsher Kalim and Tfilas Kalim in June, which we're still going to do. I don't know exactly when we're going to start. It depends when we finish Bas B'chalav. but we will. We're going to do both. But that's the plan. So, if you don't like it, then don't come to shir.
Is the chinah at the end after
Hashakim? No. As soon as we're finished Bas B'chalav, there's going to be a bechina. Now, if we finish by Shavuos, that's great. You'll have Friday to chazer. And bechina will be on Motzei Shabbos. If we don't finish by then, so we're going to... basically, chazara for Bas B'chalav is Shavuos, Tikkun Leil. Okay? So it's a big bechina. It's the longest bechina of anything we've done. But it seems that we've gone so slowly, it shouldn't be much of a need for chazara. So...
Sarcasm.
So we will not be stopping for chazara. I don't know how we did this. I totally take responsibility. We've been going much too slow the whole time. It was an unsustainable trajectory, and I messed up, so I apologize. But Lamaisa, whatever it is, I understand. As I said, I take full responsibility, but we are where we are. So this is what we're going to do. So we're not going to, you should chazer, you should all start, you should, you know, for your Tusa Dharma day of Seder, you should be going full steam ahead at a more rapid pace. And then in terms of night Seder and Bein Asdarim and early morning Seder, you should be doing chazara from the beginning of Bas B'chalav. So that way, you'll be ready to take the bechina as soon as we finish the material. Again, I still have a hope that we might finish by Shavuos. I don't know if we will, but that's the plan. We'll go till the end of June, but Hechsher Kalim and Tfilas Kalim and the like is a real thing. I hope we don't have to shortchange that very much either. I think some people do, but I think it's worth doing well. They're very Lamaisa Shailas and worth learning the Sugyas and the like. So we're going to, that's our plan. And then there'll be another Bechina after, a small Bechina after Hechsher Kalim and Tfilas Kalim. So we have a big Bechina when we're done Bas B'chalav, and a small Bechina after we're done Hechsher Kalim. The big Bechina we'll do like we did for the bigger Bechinas, meaning to say it could be open Shulchan Aruch. And the small bechina after Hechsher Kalim and Tfilas Kalim, since it's small, I think we'll do Kol Shulchan Aruch and the like. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, that's the plan. Be'ezras Hashem. Okay. The Rama writes a very strange thing. Aval imu klisheni abasar tzarch klipa. Sorry. I skipped ahead. The Shulchan Aruch writes... in Siv Zayin, a very strange thing. Basar Roseach Shechat Choy B'sakin Choy Laves Kol HaChaticha Asura Im Ein Bashishim Keneged Makom Sakin Shechatach HaBasar. So the question is, why? Based off of the rules we know, it shouldn't need more than a Netila. Right, after all, the meat might be hot, but there's no Bishul, there's no Rotev. So, how is it that the entire piece of basar becomes asar? So the Prisha says, well, maybe we're talking about cooked meat. It's very soft, and therefore it spreads more efficiently. However, it's very hard to say that, because if we go back to Simon Kofhei, we didn't have any such rule that, well, it's true that Sli only needs a netila, Mikra did, meaning to assuming it's not shamein, but if it's soft, then all of a sudden Sli needs kulo, right? It's like bishul, both the kula and the chumra, it seems. So that's a difficult explanation. The Beis Yosef in Sifchas gives a different answer. He says it's because of docha de sakina. And he has another chiddush also, that because the sakin has shamnunis on it, therefore it's kulo aser. But I guess we'll get back to that later. Chavos Das is a very interesting explanation. Anyway, so where does this idea of Docha de Sakina come from? So, in other words, we have a source in Shas for Docha de Sakina being able to cause Blios Bekulo. So we know one place where we have the idea possibly in Shas of Docha de Sakina is the Gemara in Kofiyot based. It's known Shachat Chol B'Sakin Shal Basar. We say Asher L'Achla B'Kutach, and that's because it's known as Charif Agav Chorfei Bala. But you can't say that's the Pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, because in Siman Kov Vav, which we'll hope to get to soon, it says that you only need Netila. In other words, there are some Rishonim that might say the entire Tznon becomes Aser. But the Mechaber's Psak is that how much of the Tznon becomes Aser and Netila. In other words, how far does Docha de Sakina get you? A Netila. So if the Pshat over here that it Aser is more than a Netila is because of Docha de Sakina, well, why is that? In other words, it just doesn't seem to be a valid source, at least in Shas, for this idea. What you have to say, L'chora, for the Beis Yosef, is that Docha de Sakina pushes it further than it would ordinarily go. So, in the case of Tznon, where it shouldn't go anywhere, because it's cold, and let's say clean, well, Docha de Sakina will get you Netila. Here, where on its own, let's say it will get you a Netila, so Docha de Sakina gets you Kulo, which is an interesting idea. But maybe that's what the Beis Yosef holds. If you look at the Gra, you might see something like that. He writes that the source for this, we'll see. There's another possible source is, you know what, we'll skip the Gra for now, because it's very interesting Gra, but fine. So the Shach gives some other alternative answers besides this. He also asked the question, this is Sifkan Chav Zayin. His first answer is like the Beis Yosef, that Docha de Sakina. Answer two, Odie Shlomar, the Stam Sakin Hubalua Gamke Mishamnune Shochema, V'chia Gavna. So this is a very Mechudishtik answer as well. What's he saying? That your milchik knife, well, how is it milchik? Let's say you used your knife to cut butter, hot butter. Great. So, butter is what? It's shamein. So, but it's just blios, right? Just blios. We're only concerned here about the blios. There might be shamnunis, but as we'll see in a minute, the shamnunis l'chora doesn't get past a klipa. So there's only blios here. So if you remember back from Kofei, Sifkan Chav Gimel, the Shach was mesupik about this very question. Do we say shamein blios retain their quality of being shamein and are therefore mifapeya? Or not, right? Remember the Magen Avraham and the Shach and the like. So the Shach was mesupik about that. You see over here, I think the Shach continuing to be mesupik about that. He gives this answer, but this is only one of three answers. So this answer number two of the Shach, presumes, and you have him also sort of hedging his bets in Sifkat and Lamed Gimel on this very Shaila, as to whether it's a mispashet. So I think the Shach consistently is not machriya on this question, but this answer, this one, answer two out of three, is assuming that that davar shamein is mifapeya. And again, there's a bit of a chiddush here, a huge chiddush actually, that he's assuming it both l'kula and l'chumra. It's a chumra that it answers the whole piece if there isn't shishim, but there's a kula, which is if there's shishim, the pashtus is, we'll get back to this in a moment, but the pashtus is that it's mutter. At least, we'll talk about maybe you need a klipa, but not more, not a netila. And to say that, A, it's not just mestamet has chema, but vade has chema, ben yomo, that's mispashe, b'shat, no, I guess it doesn't have to be ben yomo, forget ben yomo. It vade has chema, and it's vade mispashe equally throughout. Right? That's what this answer is basically relying upon. And then his third answer is inami mairi shabas or shamein. Ubedavar shamein, so the tour holds. It's also ashishim. So this is also a chiddush, which again we discussed at length. That something shamein could be mefatim these blios and cause them to spread throughout, right? Which we discussed extensively. But that's what this third answer is assuming. Now, so there's a big difference then between answers, we'll say one versus two and three. Right, if you hold of answer one, the Docha de Sakina answer, so then we assume that Docha de Sakina causes on its own blios to be mefapeya bekulo, whereas if you hold of two and three, then we're just denying that Docha de Sakina does not allow it to spread more than just the regular netilah. According to, right, if you look at the, yes?
Isn't three just the more intuitive and less mechubish according to Shulchan Aruch on the Torah? In other words, we already have that chiddush.
Well, Shulchan Aruch, we know what he holds. We don't necessarily have that chiddush. I mean, as we saw earlier, that's a debated point. And certainly for Blios.
Well, if you look at the Shach...
And it doesn't say it, right? It's a huge ukipta. The Mechaber says the Salacha, right? The Mechaber isn't the person...
Really, Basar being Shamin is an ukipta.
You've never heard of lean meat?
Of course. But
so good. So it's clear from the Sugyas earlier when we talked about Shamin, Basar Shamin, right? That some Basar Shamin, some Basar is Kachosh. So answer three is a huge ukipta, among other things. It's ukipta in Halacha, that the Basar Shamin could be Mefatim, the Blios, and then cause them to spread throughout. And then B, it's a Chiddush in just in the Lashon.
In Shach of Yisif Kodim of Tess, he rehashes it all again, and I thought that he came out that we're adding the Blios of the Sakin to the Shamnun.
No, how does that help you?
Because you're getting more Yisif.
The Shamnunis itself, we know, is Bato and a Klipa. How does that... Shamnunis itself doesn't get more than a klipa problem, right? That's why if it's Eino Ben Yomo, it only asks results klipa. We'll get to that later. But I don't think he's being choser in anything he said here. Here's where he asks this question, and he gives three answers.
So what's he doing in the next...
Well, we'll get there when we get there. It's a different shayla. Different shayla, different answers. It's not the same shayla.
Okay.
Did you ever see the Chema case, or the Basar Shaman case is the one where he's hedging his bet?
The Chema case.
Why is that?
Because we saw in Simon Kofhei, he's not sure whether Blios retain their koach of being Shamein when they're in a Kli. Mm-hmm. Right? The Magen Avraham, remember?
I think so.
Okay, good. Excellent. And again, answers two and three are especially of a big chiddush, in terms of saying it both Lakula as well, right? You have to Tvadei Shami. Okay, so and we could even add another aspect of Chiddush, which is we know in Simon Kuf Hei, we always assume that it's not Mispashe Bekula Lachumra, right? In this case, it sounds like the simple reading is that if there's Shishim, everything is Mutter. Right, everything is mutter, which is a very big chiddush, right? We're not concerned with anything. Now the Taz says no in a Hanami. Of course, you have to be choshish for a klipa, at the very least. He doesn't say anything. The Shach disagrees with the Taz b'das ha-tur, and that's because he thinks the tur isn't choshish, and there's some Rishonim that aren't choshish for the Rashba, right? This is talking about for tzli when it's shamin that you also aser the klipa as well. But Lemaisa, the Shach thing, agrees to the Taz that you do need a Klipa. The Pri Chadash says, why Klipa? You should need a Netila, even if they're Shishin, for the reason that we asked. And especially if you assume, like, answer two and three in the Shach, right? That we should require a Netila. And the truth is, the Prima Gadim says even the Taz would require a Netila, though it's very Dochak. The Taz doesn't anywhere say Netila. Sounds like you only need a klipa. Now, the Shach asks the question as well, later on, from Tznon, why is this different? Why don't you need an Antila? However, the Shaya, this question is not... it wouldn't be Shayach on answer number three. It would only be Shayach for answer one and two, right? Because answer three is out the shamein is in the basar, right? So assuming tznons aren't the shamein, it's not a shayla. But he asked the kasha maishna tznon that it's only in a tila, and here it's kulo. So that would be a kasha for one and two. And he writes daf al gav de lakaman reishem and tadivavim chatoch b'tzaken shel iser oy shel chalav tznon enu osa el kedin a tila yeshlam ad hasam leka ella mishem chorfa de tznon. Even Nosin Talmud Shvach, we'll talk about that. Mikol Mak, in other words, in some respects, Snon is better. Mikol Makom Linyan Lispashe, with respect to spreading out of Blios, so Bishel's Adif. So that's that. Now, another just parenthetical point, which we've mentioned in the past, but I'll just repeat it, is that the Arsiman clearly takes for granted that that knives are dirty, min hastam. Then we pointed out that Rabbi Willig and others point out that that Messias isn't true nowadays. In other words, if you just, you know, the halacha is, as the Shach, for example, points out at the beginning of Siman Sadi Hay, if you take a stam dish out of your cupboard, we assume it's clean, right? Might be dirty, but we assume it's clean. When it comes to knives, so the Dina of the Shulchan Aruch is, it's assumed to have some shamnunis. But the Metzias, and that's what all these halachos in our siman are based off of, the Metzias is that reality isn't true anymore. We keep our knives just as clean as we keep our spoons, and therefore you can act with the assumption that the knife is clean, and whatever that applies. Now, the Ramah continues, and he writes, Aval imhu klisheni habasar tzach klipa v'asakein sakin ni'itza v'karka. So what's going on here? That, first of all, again, this is the Ramah l'shitaso in his rejecting of the Maharshal and the Yisur v'Hatter. He thinks that klisheni, even davar gush, has the din of a klisheni. And the Taz over here in the Shach note that. That's why the Taz says that we're machmir against this Rama, at least if it's not a big hefseid, because of Davar Gush. And then the Rama writes, so why do you need a klipa? Right, that's very fair. If we're treating this as a klisheni, so what's the normal rule for klisheni? Let's say it's cold, right? Klisheni's cold. Halachically. So what should you need? What would you have expected the halacha to be here? Yeah, maybe greira because it's shamein or something like that. Where does klipa come from? Klipa is a very strange psak. So you shouldn't need a klipa. So there are two possible answers that we find here. If you look at the Tarschatas at the end of Klal Samech Aleph, he writes, Shehabasar tzarch ktsas klipa. Vust haste ktsas klipa. Till now, we've always talked about klipa. What's a ktsas klipa? So maybe you could say that this is not menadin. In other words, menadin, you don't need a klipa. Here, it's a chumra ktsas klipa. Now, I don't think that's so glatt in the Shulchan Aruch, although he says that lashon in the Ramah, in the Tarschatas, because he does actually say a strange one. He talks about klipa me'at at the end. By Eno Ben Yomo. But here he says you need a klipa. So, if you're going to say that anything is a fake klipa, it would be that one, where he says, lichlof me'at, which sounds like, maybe it sounds like less than a klipa, but here he sounds like you need a normal klipa. So it's not clear. Not clear. If you look at the Darkei Moshe, he writes like this: Avalim chatcha basar roseach usang chalav ben yomo hakol aser main shishim negan sakan dem enu ben yomo tzach klipa afilu hatzone mishum de bevade yesham nunis. So what does he mean? Afilu tzone. Does he mean totally cold? Does he mean chom beisef? Totally cold. It's chor rechum. It's not menadim. Maybe he means chom beisef shchita. Needs a little more, not clear. So the Ramah's Shita is not so clear, but if you look at the Gra, Sifkat and Chavav, he tells you what the Makor is, which is the Sukhya and Chulin, Chasam at base. If you shecht with a Gayish knife, and the concern is the Pashtus, though again you saw the Shach and the Taz disagree with this, but the Pashtus means a knife that might even have some Shanunis of Isser on it. So then you need Klipa, right? Now, how hot is the base hashchita? Pachos miyad soledes bo. So if you recall back from Kufhei, the Rashba said from here, I have my very wonderful chiddush, that there are blios, pachos miyad soledes bo, or klisheni, or all that stuff. But of course, we reject that. So how do you answer that question? What's stuck in the pshat? See, docha de sakina plus chom pachos miyad soledes bo equals klipa. In other words, the only way to be doicha that raya is to acknowledge this reality. And that's the answer for, that's the way the Gra explains this Rama. So what turns out is, yeah, base is klisheni absolutely meaningless for the Rama. The Rama rejects the Marashal, there's no Dabar Gush, klisheni, nothing, nothing, nothing. Well, no, there actually is a case. In other words, here, this is the second place where now we've seen Doche de Sakina doing something that it can't do on its own normally. The first is the Beis Yosef, that it causes it to be Aser Bekulo, if it's Kli Rishon Ben Yomo. And now we have the second one, according to the Rama, which is if it's Kli Sheni, it gets it to go in a Klipa. And there might be other places where we're Machmir for Doche de Sakina, maybe by Rabbeinu Peretzlel and Chom Beis Ashchita. We'll talk about it when we talk about Snon and the like, but here we see that again. Okay. There's another interesting machlokas that comes up in this sif, which is tangential to the Siman Tzadi Dalet, but a very important lemaisa shaila, which is the issue of Milsa de lo Ramya. So the halacha is that if a in Choshen Mishpat we say this in Choshen Mishpat Simen Samach Tassif Yud Aleph. So let's say I go up to you and I say Mana Hilvisicha Betzad Amud Ploni, and you tell me I never was next to that Amud in my whole life. And then we bring Adim that say I saw you yesterday next to that Amud. They don't say we saw you borrow money next to that Amud. They just say I saw you next to that Amud. So do you become a Hochsa Kafran? So the answer is no. We have this principle, Milsa de lo Ramya alei de inish, amar velava daite, meaning to say things of no halachic consequence, or any consequence really in this case. So you don't really pay attention to it. So I don't really notice whether I stand by this amud, because it's totally inconsequential. There's no nafkamina. And therefore, I don't become a liar, because I'm going to tell the truth about consequential things, like whether I borrowed money or not. I'm going to accidentally lie, basically, about inconsequential things. So, the question, that's with respect to Choshen Mishpat, and the question is, how does this play up in terms of Yoredeya? And as I mentioned to you before, this is a very common question, because when people ask you shailas, you start bombarding them with questions. Well, when, you know, let's say that knife question, right? So somebody says, I cut my onion for the chalant with a milchig knife. What's the halacha that has on? So I start asking them, well, did you ever use your knife for milchigs? What makes it milchigs? I say, yeah, you could use it. Well, was it a kli rishon? Was it yad soledes bo? And sometimes they answer the question. They say, I got married 11 months ago. This knife was only used for 11 months. And I could tell you with certainty that we never used this knife for a lasagna and a kli rishon. Now, I'm asking this to a person who never really considered any halachic significance to this questions. But he or she says, with certainty, I didn't do it. So, and that's going to change it. Let's assume, there isn't shishim keneged the onion. The chalant would be usher if she ever used this knife to cut lasagna, right? And the chalant would be mutter, lasagna and a kli rishon, and the chalant would be mutter if she didn't. And now here she's telling me something. So, again, we're never choshesh that she's going to intentionally lie. Eidachanam b'isur, and I'm going to eat the food at her house. But would we say over here, Milsa de lo Ramya? So this is a machlokas in our simen between the Shach and the Taz, as well as in other places, most notably, as you pointed out, in Simen Kuf Tzadi. Over there, the halacha is like this. Let's say three women are sitting on a bench and they discover a kesem underneath one of them. And so we have to be concerned, that they moved around a little bit. And even if when the kesem was discovered, it wasn't mamish under where she was sitting, but she might have, sat at different places on this couch and the like. But it says If she says Bari li shelo basi lemakom shenimsa hadam, then tahira. Right? I know I didn't sit on that part of the couch for sure. I know that. So the Taz over there, Sifkat Mem, says, I don't know what he's talking about. Because it sounds like if she didn't say anything, she would be Asura, right? And therefore, how could she say Barili? This goes against the principle of Milsa de lo Ramya. And therefore, the Taz answers that this should really be true. In other words, this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch is false, except if two conditions are met. Number one is it was recent. Zman Karov. I don't know how to define Zman Karov, but like she just gets up and she was sitting on this couch for 15 minutes, not so much time, and she says, I know in the last 15 minutes I didn't sit on that spot, on that part of the couch. And then he also says that it has to be something that's not so common. Right? Kevan shehu dagavar sheino ragil kol ktsas, meaning to say, like usually, you know, the more common thing is to sit still. Okay, sometimes you bounce around on couches, but the more common thing is to sit still. Plus, it was Zman Karov, that's why it's mutter. She could say barili, but otherwise, it wouldn't work. So, going back to the shaila we just said, presumably according to the Taz, if she said, I didn't use this knife, this milchiga knife for lasagna in last 11 months, right? So it's not true. We wouldn't believe her. It's not Zman Karov, and it's not it's common enough to make lasagna for most people. So
11
months?
The question is not in the past 11 months. The question was...
That's the question. The last 11 months? No, it's an onion. She cut an onion for the chalent in a milchiga knife. Put it in the chalent. So if she used it for lasagna in a kli rishon 11 months ago...
Right.
The challenge trafe, there's no shishim, right? So it's neither of those conditions are probably met. Now the Shach over there disagrees. And as I said, this is just one example of where this Shiloh comes up, but all over the time, all over the place. The Shach over there disagrees with the Taz, and he says, no, that which we say, Milsa lo Ramya, Zehu kasheinu nogei la'alacha. But when it's nogei la'alacha, even though at the time that the Shaila arose, they weren't aware it's Nogei Halacha, meaning, say, these three women were all Becheskes Tauros, right? So they weren't thinking necessarily about where they sat. But the answer is no, it's Nogei Halacha. Now, it's not clear what he means. The Pasha Pshat, I think, in a Shach is that when something is potentially halachically relevant, so halachic Jews always have some degree of awareness, of more conscious awareness as to what's going on, at least if they say barili. So every woman knows that, somebody could, kesem might be discovered on this couch, and therefore, if she says, I was careful, and I know I didn't sit on this spot, then of course she's believed. It's not like, Tzad Amud. There's no halachic relevance to pillars and standing next to pillars ever whatsoever, and that's why about that we say Milsa de lo Ramya.
Maybe being a chakra is not halachically significant?
No. Well, chakra and shmakra.
I'm saying,
we're
saying Muxik Chakra.
Huxik Chakra.
And you can't be there.
Yeah, so what?
So that's very halachically significant.
It's not. You don't become Huxik Kafran about lying about non halachic things. If I go ahead and I said I went fishing yesterday and I caught a 36-inch bass, and it turns out it was a 3-inch bass. It turns out I didn't go fishing yesterday, right? And even if I say it, Lefnei Amba'eda, I promise you I went fishing yesterday. I'm still kosher Edus.
Don't we say that someone walks out and eats rabbit?
Okay.
So therefore, that's not halakhically significant. We still say it's not.
That's a different thing. That has nothing to do with this. That is a certain person that lacks a certain sensitivity, right? So you could argue, you could make a new halakhic category that constant liars about inconsequential things are pasul Edus. I don't know if that's a kata concept, but if there is, it's not this. Okay.
But yeah. I understand. The time we were saying the couch, they didn't know.
That's true.
There.
That's the chiddush of the. That's a Taz's argument. Right. The Shach says that since there, everybody knows that there are nafkaminas where you sit, right? Every woman knows that there's nafka minas where she sits. So therefore, if she says, I know, I didn't sit in this spot, so she's believed, because it's a halachically consequential question. Okay, so that's the sheet of the shach. In L'chora, we have the same machlokas over here. The Maharshal and the Machaber seem to disagree. On this point, the Maharshal says, you're not Naaman to say that. The question is, you're cutting this piece of meat with a milchigan knife, and you say, I know that I only cut with two-thirds of this knife, right? The meat never came in contact with this part of the thing, so this part of the knife. So the Machaber says, you're good, it's fine, we follow what you say. And the Marshal says, Milsa de lo Ramya. The Shach and supports the Machaber, and presumably the Ramo doesn't say anything over here, seem to be no gay meka lemaisa. So, now, that's what we have so far. But if you take a look at the Nota Behuda, which is quoted at the Pisrei Chuf at the beginning of our Simen, this question came up at the beginning of our Simen as well. There we talked about dipping the spoon into the pot, right? And let's say a person says, you know, the Shach says, we assume, if you don't know how far you dipped in the spoon, it's the normal amount. Let's say, some of the Echonim say it's like the round part of the spoon. But whatever it is. But let's say a person says, no, I only know that I dipped the tip of this spoon into the pot. So it sounds like the shach would be mekel. At least that's the way the Nota Behuda seems to be medayik from the shach, that you're believed, and that's the shach l'shitaso. The Pisrei Tshuva doesn't like that diuk at all. He disagrees with the Nota Behuda, and he disagrees with the diuk of the shach in the Nota Behuda. He disagrees with the diuk of the Nota Behuda and the shach. Right? The diuk is like this. It says, this is lashon of the shach, sifkan base. Sorry, that's not the lashon of the shach. That's the lashon of the Aruch HaShulchan. So how do we paskin in the shach? Oh, but the Nota Behuda though has a chumrah, which the shach might not agree to. He doesn't say anywhere that you have to be this way, though it could be he agrees. Nota Behuda says you have to at least know in theory what the halacha is, that it's halachically relevant. In other words, that's why he compares it to someone doing shchita who doesn't even know halacha shchita. They don't even know what's a shaila. So then we would agree that we say milsa d'lo ramya. The only time we're going to be makel against the taz is when at least it's something that you know. You've learned yaradaya, so you know it's a shaila how far, you know, whether it's very important whether you use this knife in a lasagna for kli rishon. But if you actually had no idea, then it wouldn't be true. That's the Nota Behuda's claim. The shach doesn't say that. That might be true, but it's not. The shach doesn't seem to have any limitations. And in fact, if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, so question is how do we paskin on this? So the Aruch HaShulchan says like this: Aval k'she'omer ad kama tachav neman v'lo yamin an nosu d'lo yirami ale d'inshi lava daite d'bimaisa sha'adam oise b'yadayim l'tashmisho daito al zeh. And then he quotes the Pisrei Tshuva's reservations, and he says, "Ein lefakfek bezek klal." So he's even more makel than a Nota Behuda, right? He says, according to Aruch HaShulchan, that anything that Adam ose biyado letashmisho, right, as opposed to bitzad amud plomi. Tzad amud plomi, it's not something I do biyadi letashmisho. Do I walk by this pillar or not? I don't know. Maybe if I was using the pillar to scratch my back. So then, I would be a hochzak kafra. But just standing by a pillar is not something that adam osa biyado l'tashmisho. But anything, Yechshochem says, anything that a person does biyado l'tashmisho, you have, and you say again, bevados, and you're a credible person, you have total nemanus. So how do we paskin? It's not so clear as we see. It's a big machlokas in the poskim. I once asked Rabbi Willig this question. And he said, if you say it, it's at least a suffix. So, where there's other tzadim lahakel, then maybe you could be makel. That's like the Rabbanan, Shaila, for example. So, deraisa Shaila, he wasn't so willing to, you know, at least on its own, to be Meikel. And maybe, right, if you saw the Prima Gadim brings a raya that by this or deraisa, maybe the Shach would be Machmir. This is from Simon Yud Ches, Sif Dalet, and Shach over there, Sif Kat Yud Ches, which might support a more stringent reading of the Shach. Yeah.
So is Rav Volga talking about somebody who knows a general halakha, doesn't necessarily know everything, or are we talking about somebody who's
wasn't in theory? He wasn't willing to give a hachra brura in theory, but he certainly was not willing to fully accept the Aruch HaShulchan under all circumstances. But if we're dealing with, let's say, Rabbanan Shaila, so then he was willing to accept. He was willing to say, look, if I say, Vadai, I didn't do X, at least it's a suffix that I might not have done X, and therefore it's a Rabbanan Shaila. If you could say a suffix Rabbanan Mahakel, then you could be Mako.
So, let's say somebody knows basic halacha of Yerodea, and they have a sinan of the halacha of this complicated case.
Well, let's take the case of the knife, right? The Chaland case.
Right.
So now, would that be basav halav deraisa? Let's ask you that question. Answer is Pasha, you say yes?
Pasha, no.
Pasha, no? I don't say Pasha, no, but I think probably no. Right? We discussed that the some achronim say that the idea of being machalyel shvach Alidei Charif might not be Deo Raisa, right? And the like, it's not Pashut, no. If you assume, like, all the assumptions that we normally make, it might be Deo Raisa, but you could argue that it's not Deo Raisa. You could make a strong case it's not Deo Raisa. So then,
why?
Let's assume, because if the Nice Ain't Oben Yomo, this Chiddush that is Mechaya L'Shvach is only a Din D'Rabbanan. That's one example. So then, or if you remember, we quoted some poskim that are willing to be somech on the base mayor, who says that we don't say an oben yomo make a knife, right, when there's another sniff to rely on. So here we'll combine the Aruch HaShulchan with the base mayor. I'm saying there are a lot of ways you could say it to be meiko. But yeah, it's I think a question that to some degree is Be'ene Hamora. But something certainly to consider, which is when people tell you certain things, you know, that they weren't aware of it being halachically relevant at the time, at least, to what extent do we accept what they say with certainty?
Rebbe, wouldn't the Shach have made a tefillah like that?
It's an interesting shiloh, but you have to figure out. Maisi says, "How are you going to be resolved?" Yud ches ches, shach yud ches if kan ches, right? That's a strong proof that Pesach Shulchan brings. So, okay, sif ches. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a psak of the Rabbeinu Yerucham and nafal letaner pnadish. Gvina, afilu lacha, eno oser ela kadei klipa. So what does this mean? We went from Siv Zayin to having like a humongous chumra, right? You use a mochik knife and it somehow or another asers a whole piece of meat, right? Which is mamish, pile plaim, that dochot skin. Like even, I guess I didn't stress this point, but the mitzias of the Beis Yosef, it's just a strange idea. How could dochot sakina, right, well, how, like, affect something 3 inches away? The dochak is gone, right? Let's say it's a big piece of meat, like a roast, right? Roasts are, you could have, you know, you cut one end of the roast. So a roast is like 9 inches long. So the doch of the sakina is going to affect the blios 9 inches away, right? It's mamisha. And the metzias, the metzias chiddush of that is remarkable. And the truth is, it's actually both a kula and chumra, as we said, potentially, unless you hold like the Frichadash, it's a kula also. But anyway, so we go from a gigantic chumra in Sif Zion to a tremendous kula, right? When I say chumra kula, I'm saying based off of what we learned from Simon Kuf Hei. So based off of what we learned in Simon Kuf Hei, you never would have dreamed of Sif Zion. You would have been much more makel. And now you come to Sif Ches, based off of what we know from Simon Kuf Hei, you never would have dreamed of this kula. Right? Again, but what's going on here? So, l'chayra, we're talking about a case where gvina fell onto a Pnadish Besari, right? So what would you say from Simon Kofhei, if a piece of cheese, yeah, you have a Pnadish Besari in your oven, roasting away, and now a piece of cheese falls on it. So what would you say, how much of the Pnadish should become Aser?
At least
an Atila. Right? And here we say Klipa. So what's going on here? So Rabbi Yerucham answers this question. It's quoted by the Shach as well. And he says, well, Gvina is a bit different. It's not Darka Lihikanes Kolkach. What does that mean exactly? The Prima Gadim says it means it's Khusha Betiva. And it's Gush Gamur. Meaning, I think what he means is very, very hard. And therefore, it's not Mifapeya more than a Klipa. Now, very strange to say. Like, what does it mean, very, very hard? I imagine when I read that, like a block of Parmesan cheese, right? Some cheeses are mamish, very hard. Though the problem is twofold. First of all, you know, we don't find this chiddush in Shas, that there's a difference between cheese and all other foods. Right? And A. B, the Raman, Simon Sadi Aleph, said mamish the opposite, because over there in Sifhei, the Raman writes that Basar Ugvina Meluchim, Shinagu Zebezeh, what's the din? Misharin Meshishim. So what does that mean? That Gvina is Mefapas B'chol HaBasar. And now we're saying, not only is it not an, you know, it's not Mefapas B'chol, but it's super Mekel. And also, we said over here that it's even, the Shulchan Aruch seems to be applying this afilu lacha, right? Sounds like even melted cheese, right? But that's what the Shach says. That's what Rabbi Yerucham says. Now, the Shach says if that's the pshat, so then the gvina will actually be aser, at least a netila, right? Mikra adin, if the basar is kachosh, so the gvina, right, so basar is the capacity to go wherever it wants, so the gvina will be aser in the tila, and ledidan, the rama, that we are concerned that everything is shamein, and this the Dalmi Ruva points this out, so then the whole gvina will be aser, right, so we have a quite of an ironic halacha here. The entire gvina is aser, you know, let's say the gvina was a block of cheese, several inches thick. So the whole cheese becomes aser, but just the klipa of the meat becomes aser. Now, that's the way the Shach learns this. If you look at the Beis Yosef, actually, it's not so clear that that's the metzias we're talking about. Maybe, right, the Lashon Shulchan Aruch says, im nafal litanur pnadish gvina. Now, does that mean, like the Shach says, that the Gemina fell onto the Pnadish? Or no? Maybe it means, Im nafal atanur Pnadish Gvina. Meaning to say, it fell onto the Tanur. It fell onto the Kedera. Yes. And that's exactly what the Taz says. So, if you read it that way, so then Kenzain, if it fell onto the Pnadish itself, it would need an Atila or more. Lididan, right? In other words, you totally reject the first understanding of the halacha. And then, if that's true, you could deny there being any significance to gvina once you're at it, right? Because once we're just talking about the kli, maybe this is teaching me a different halacha, which is that when you have anything which falls onto a kli, how far in do the blios go? And maybe the answer is only a klipa. In other words, you could say, still cheese is different. Normal things go in a netila, and cheese goes in a klipa.
This is saying that it goes into the cheese.
No, we're talking about the taner still, not the cheese.
Meaning, it wouldn't make a difference if the kasher either.
Yeah, well, it would make a big difference because let's say the next time you cook something in this pot, there's shishim keneged the klipa, but there's not shishim keneged the netila.
Uh-huh.
Right? So it's good. You may be off the kashrut anyway, but it still makes a big difference. Sometimes, first of all, you could actually be kolef, like wood, let's say, and also how much will you have to aser did this capacity have the next time? If you look at the Chazon Ish, it's Chav Beis Vav. He sounds like, this is a general rule, that for food and kli that touch each other without rotev, so the kli, the blios only go in a klipa, because a kli is kasha, and it's not bolei harbe, like ochel. And he learns then, therefore, that this halach is nothing special about cheese. Maybe the chiddush is the opposite. It's dafka cheese, where we're so mako. Sorry, it's dafka cheese, you would have thought to be machmir, because we're talking about vina lacha, and obviously liquids go in more than a klipa. And therefore, no, the chiddush is even vina lacha, it only goes in a klipa. The problem with that mahalik, first of all, we noted, Rabbi Rucham seems to say cheese is more kal. Another problem is from Simon Tzadi Beis. In Simon Tzadi Beis, we assume that blios are mefapeh b'chol akli, right? If it falls shelo k'neged rotev, it spreads. So you have to say, for the Chazon Ish, that's chalav, it's a liquid. Or maybe there it's more chamar because it's al ha'esh, like we saw in the Shach, in Yisra
Hatter. Can you talk about the Shach with the
So we do have places, that's where the Chazon Ish is coming from. We do have a number of places where we seem to assume that blio, you know, kalim are more resistant to absorption and penetration. So we do have that precedent in a number of places. You're correct. The question is, does that, you know, what does that mean? Again, simple reading of Simon Tzadi Beis is we assume that blios, or at least we're choshesh, that blios swim throughout a kli. Right? And that's why shelo k'neged rotev, you're in trouble. Again, you could say, well, that's worse for the various reasons we've seen. Maybe because it's chalav. Maybe because it's al ha'esh. But that question has to be taken and granted. Now, why does the Chazon Ish say this pshat, even though, like we said, it's very dochak? The Chazon Ish says, because the pshat of the shach is so dochak, he says, hadavar tema, kevin de kocham below rotef oser kedei netila, minayim lanu shiyatzis agvina mikol ochlen sheba olam. Shelo tavliya, ve'ein derech harishonim zal lekvoa halacha below mekor. V'il haya b'gemar mevor chiluk bein ochel la'ochel hayav shelachriya de gvina bechlal ochlin she'ein an osrim kedei netila. Aval acharei shelo nizkar chiluk b'davar minala lomarkein. In other words, we don't have a basis in Shas to start being mechalek between foods. Some foods go in. Right? We have the kachos shamim business.
What do you mean? That's Tosfos talks about.
No, what?
I'm talking about Zion with the Netilos and the Klippa.
About what?
He says that there are some cases where you do Klippa and some cases you do Netilos, depending on the situation. No?
Well, the question is, the Chazon Ish is saying, is that the type of food, not the situation. We know there are situations where you need Klippa and Netilos and the like. But do we have a place in Shas where it tells us that there are two types of foods? Some foods, when they come in contact with the kli, go in a klipa, and some go in a netila. So then, if we had that precedent in Shas, so then a rishon could say, oh, I'll tell you, you know, gvina falls into one category over another category, because it's kochush bioser. But to make up that category and then put gvina into it, so he says that's not the derech of rishonim.
He's arguing on the rishon.
No, he's arguing on the shach. I'll read Rabbi Nirachim like the Taz and say this is a general rule for Kalim.
Right.
It's Teichach. Yeah, he admits it's Teichach. But the alternative is to, well, Kachosh also is Netila.
You saw they were discussing that, you know, it's
we paskin that food goes into Kalim and Netila. That's the din. In other words, again, you're right. It might be a machlokas rishonim for tzli, whether tzli is klipa, tzli is netila, or the like. But to say, no, medina de gemara, tzli is netila, and therefore all kalim, it goes in a netila. And for one kli, one type of food, I'll tell you, it only goes in a klipa, he says that that's not the derech of rishonim to make such a chiddush. I can't comment on the derech of rishonim. It's definitely the derech of the Chazon Ish to, when he thinks something makes no sense, to say that nobody said it. So Bekitzer, right, what do we have? According to the Shach, at least if it's totally dry. Then there's the issue, as you saw in the Gra, bringing in the Rashba, right? There's the Chor, the Mechaber disagrees with the Rashba. The Rashba is quoted in Shach, Sifkat, Lamed, Gimel, that Kli is Oser Kedei Netila. And that's the point the Gra makes. The Gra says that the Mechaber is against the Rashba. It sounds like the Gra might be paskening like the Rashba against the Mechaber. The Shach tries to argue that the Mechaber is not against the Rashba. And here it's different because it's Yavish Lagamrei, right? It's totally, totally dry. So what comes out then, according to the Shach, is if it's Nagov Lagamrei, it's Kedei Klipa. If it's not Nagov Lagamrei, then it's Netila. And if it's Lach, it's Mefapeh Bekulo. Now one other minor hara that we'll say, and then we're going to start Sadi Hey. I hope. What time is it? Oh, good mouth. Is like this. If you learn like the Shach, that Bas B'Chalam is an Isser Machmas Atzmo, right? So then why doesn't one Netila, one Klipa Aser the next one? Right, again, you have a piece of cheese that fell onto a piece of meat. So, naniach, that the cheese only goes in one klipa's worth. But that's Bas B'Chalam. Now, that klipa should Aser the next klipa. Not because the gvina leaves. The Tam Chalav will not leave that klipa because it's kachosh bioser. Great. But the basar leaves and goes on to the next klipa. So you'll tell me, ain't an esar. So I'll tell you, ain't an esar doesn't make sense when it's an esar machmas atzmo. Right? So if you learned like the Rashba, great. But the Shach, he loves the Ran. The answer has to be, l'chayra, that you can't be more machmir than the Ran. You're right. If basar b'chalav is an esar machmas atzmo, you couldn't really have the klipa. So why the Ran asked the question, which is how come there's only a klipa? Why don't we say one klipa asks the next? Because the Ran, since he holds his machmas atzmo, he denies ein hanesar, and he answers that since basar b'chalav by shari surin is modeled after basar b'chalav deiraisa by basar b'chalav, chanan deiraisa by basar b'chalav, and in chanan deiraisa there's no such thing as a klipa. In other words, l'shitaso, that sli is not basar b'chalav deiraisa. So memela, he holds that there could be no such thing. So what the Shach l'chora is premised on is, if my whole theory of basar b'chalav being nisar machmas atzmo is alts the Ran, can't be more machmer than the Ran. No, but the Ran. Oh, very good. Okay, so you got the last word with your joke. So, the joke's on you though, because we have Shir tomorrow on that Sadi Hay, which you should be finishing up very soon. And don't forget when you do finish up to go back to Tzadi Dalad, the parts that we skipped.